You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment.
Very good, Gene
Johnson.
From the AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California, presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com, and streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies, this is AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. If you'd like to buzz in on tonight's show, you can buzz us at 424-256-1729. That's 424-256-1729. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Game of Thrones After Show.
King of the North! Oh my god! I broke it!
You are the worst.
That doesn't
king
matter!
Ever.
We're throwing that over there! So guys, we're back for another AfterBuzz TV edition of Game of Thrones, and joining me as always, the lovely Kristen Snyder.
Hi guys.
And Bethany Jaber.
Hello there.
And sadly, Simone Boyce cannot be here today. She is at a wedding.
Nothing. She's things. Filming a wedding.
It's joyous.
Filming
I wonder
a wedding.
If it's the red wedding that she's filming.
Oh. And as always, I am Dave Klein, and joining us in the booth, Sir Ronnie J.R. Jr. Tonight?
No, oh, it's not. It's Marissa. Hey, guys.
Marissa!
Yep, I'm going to be doing it tonight, filling in for Ronnie.
More magic in the booth
Let's
happening.
Have
All
a
right.
Great show.
Thank you.
We got Marissa, so we have a new king of the booth.
Queen.
King of the
I
booth.
Prefer
oh,
queen. Thank you.
Queen of the booth. Okay, queen of
a
the booth.
A new Khaleesi.
A new Khaleesi. But let's get started. The episode started off with a bang. And I'm going to pound to that bang because we have a death right away. A big time death.
By the Shadow Baby.
The Shadowborn.
It sounds like an album or a song. The Shadow Baby. Baby.
The baby has
Be
grown.
My Shadow Baby.
We should develop that.
Can I just point out that we did not get that pregnancy at all in the books? But so it made it a little. I can see why they did it. So it leads up. It's not so surprising when you get the death.
Yeah.
So at least the shadow was introduced last episode where it is in the books. When it first happens, it's kind of out of nowhere. Like, what? A shadow just killed Renly?
It's that's really out of the blue.
Yeah. So at least we got it introduced last episode, and I think that's why they did it. But there are some other differences here, at least in this scene, that I'm going to point out real quick from the books, which is that you kind of get Catelyn gets a little more hope from Renly. Mm-hmm. In the books, Renly has no intention whatsoever of helping Catelyn out, of keeping Rob as the King of the North and some friendship. He's just like, no, he's my subject, so he's going to bow to me. And that's all he cares about.
It's very interesting.
Yeah, you know, it does allow the viewer, us, to feel as though, like, there's hope and there's a conclusion coming. Like, we might really win this battle. Things are looking good.
You do get that minor moment of hope this time, which you didn't have in the book at all. It's totally hopeless.
I prefer the hope.
Now, what did you guys think of this scene overall?
The death scene where he dies there?
Yes.
You know, it's one of those things where you're like, okay, this could be really hokey. Or it can be really good. And I think it was, they did it so expediently that it didn't allow for like either to happen for me. Like I didn't feel like it was hokey, but at the same time it happened so fast that I couldn't be like, yeah, it happened. I was like, oh, that was quick. All right, he's dead. I was neither here nor there.
Yeah.
I really liked how Brienne said that the Shadow Baby actually looked like Stannis.
Yeah, she did say that.
Resembled Stannis. So I feel like there's a connection coming in there. I am not this far in the books. So maybe you guys know. Well, but I just felt like when she said that the Shadow looked like him, you know, maybe there's a connection going on with Stannis and the Shadow.
Well, I mean, we had that last episode where it was pregnant with Stannis' baby, with Melisandre and Stannis' baby. So I think that was it. But
pregnancy that lasts 3 days.
That lasts 3 days. That was a quick pregnancy.
Hey, can they all be like that?
Westeros. This can happen.
But I do want to point out what you were saying, Bethany, with how quick it was, where I think In the book, it was really quick, too.
Yeah.
Like, you don't really see it coming at all, so maybe that's why they did it that quick. Mm-hmm. I thought it was going to be a little more subtle, almost, where it'd be like the sneaking shadow on the walls that then, like...
That's how I had pictured it.
That would have been cooler to me,
and I feel
think.
Like in the novel... they are to the side and the shadow does happen in the tent, like they barely kind of see it, but you know, like all for special effects going for it.
It's, yeah,
if they gave it a go, and I mean, I don't know, it was fun to watch. I was like, oh, here it comes.
I kind of like that it wasn't some big theatrical thing, because mm-hmm. I think that the magic in Game of Thrones, I like that they kind of keep the fantasy aspect not such a big plot point, but that it moves the story forward whenever we do see magic. So I feel like it's being used well,
yeah,
and not just as some fantastical, dramatic thing on screen, you know?
Well, you also get that people don't really understand what happened either, because they're not used to it either. They're like, what the F was this S? That was two swears dropped out of that sentence.
No, I didn't even, you didn't even, it was like a half a swear.
Yeah.
No, but I definitely like how they don't make it a centerpiece here, because, you know, like Lord of the Rings or something that's more like fantastical like that, often the magic becomes like who has the bigger wand, like Harry Potter, and not just a matter of characters competing against characters.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Okay, so let's move on to the next scene of the Baratheon saga, which is Loras and Margaery trying to figure out exactly what they're going to do. And in the show, not so much in the books, but in the show we have Littlefinger still hanging out with them for whatever reason, talking to them.
I don't even remember him being there.
He was not there, but he leaves to go there on Tyrion's orders to talk to Margaery to try and convince Margaery to wed Joffrey.
But instead, I thought he went later. To the Vale.
But that's later. That's later on after this has already happened. They're like, oh, now that this has happened, let's send Littlefinger over to have that.
But I'm glad that he was there, because I really enjoyed watching him and Catelyn have it out last episode. Like, just looking over the bones of her husband and all of that stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm glad that Littlefinger was still hanging around, because, you know, sometimes I'm not here for the plot points, but I'm just here to see my favorite characters interact, because we already know what the plot points right. are. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And so I liked him there. Did you? Were you okay with it?
I mean, I was fine with it. It's just I can see where they're going with it now a little bit more than I could last episode with him being there. I think... you know, something that I've noticed that they've been doing is they're feeding lines from the book that other people say into characters in different scenes, and this mm-hmm. is an example of this, where a lot of the things during this discussion is things that Brienne and Catelyn had discussed or Tyrion had discussed with Cersei, mm-hmm. and instead they gave those lines to Loras and Margaery or Littlefinger. So it's still the same lines in the book. They're just giving it to these characters to almost more centralize them to us, I feel like, so mm-hmm. we care more about these characters than we would have otherwise.
That makes sense, because they can't have all those characters speaking these things, so I can see how that's going to work into the future. But I really liked how Littlefinger and Catelyn were sort of the voices of reason for everyone who wanted vengeance here. Like, Brienne wanted mm-hmm. vengeance on yeah. Stannis right away, and so did Loras. And it's funny that Littlefinger and... Catelyn was both the voice of reason, and it's like they have so much in common. Like, I don't know if they end up together, but it's like I can see that happening. I can see why he loved her and why they were a couple once.
I love that they are the voice of reason, and yet at the same time they're like, well, if you want to avenge it, you just have to wait.
Yeah.
It's like, that's not, oh, okay, all right, I'll buy it.
Right, like with the whole thing with Brienne and Catelyn coming up. Mm-hmm. I kept on wanting to say Brienne, and I was saying her twice. Anyways, with Brienne and Catelyn coming up, that's kind of what Catelyn was saying to her, was like, okay, you can avenge Stannis, but not yet. But if you want to later...
I'm totally okay with it.
Let's just make sure you don't screw things over right now or kill yourself. But, I mean, they both have the same line, too, pretty much, which is don't, it's no use following someone to the grave or following right. orders from a dead person, mm-hmm. pretty much, which is like, it's just useless. You're just going to get yourself killed. And they both say essentially the same thing. Littlefinger to Margaery, or Littlefinger to Loras, I think. Littlefinger to Loras, and Catelyn to Brienne.
Right. And I really liked how Littlefinger said the purest motivations. He finds that revenge is really the purest of motivations. And I agree with that. I love vengeance movies, shows. anywhere where a character is fighting to revenge someone's death, I just think there's so much passion in it. It's going to be amazing.
Count of Monte Cristo.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'd like to watch it. I don't necessarily want to be a part of it. But
okay, but everybody sort of being
I
want
to watch it. Yeah,
being a good Catholic, I can't really seek revenge on people that have done me wrong. I have to forgive them. So watching shows like this really lets me get out what I want to do, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah.
I'm living vicariously through Game of Thrones. You guys are lucky.
This is true.
I count my son as star as Khal Drogo.
Okay.
I was going to say count my stars. I thought it'd be funnier to say that. Let's move on to Stannis, though. Stannis is talking with Davos about Renly's bannermen, and we find out that all of Renly's bannermen, except for Tyrell, for whatever reason, I don't know why Loras Tyrell would not side with Stannis, but all of them except for Loras have banded with him now. And Davos is asking, but is it worth it with Melisandre and the black magic?
Yeah, I mean, Davos really wants to tell Stannis what he saw in the cave, and Stannis doesn't want to hear it. Do you think he already knows, or why does he not want to know what Davos saw in the caves?
I have no idea. But in the book, he's supposed to be weaker after the birth of the shadow baby. And he looked equally as strong. That was just another thing where I was like, oh, he's going to be all hollowed out and frightening. And that would give me cause. But it was, I didn't, you know, I kind of felt like I was like, you could tell he didn't want to know. But I was hoping for a more withdrawn, hollowed out Stannis. It would give us more of an explanation. So for me, that story... Stannis didn't pay off for me the way I was hoping for it
to. So maybe in the future we'll see, like, with the shadow baby continuing, that it pulls from Stannis. That's kind of what I saw in that they said that it resembled Stannis.
Yeah.
Which is funny because it's his baby, so of course it's going to resemble him. But if it's pulling from his strength, that makes sense.
It does, and I would like to see those things pull from his strength. But
There's always consequences with magic, so.
Right?
Yeah.
There has to be.
There has to be.
Not wildfire.
Man, wildfire.
But hey, speaking of wildfire, let's talk about the Lannisters.
Okay.
Whoa,
let's do that.
Transition. You
know,
okay.
What's funny is they don't know who killed Renly. They think it's a member of his Kingsguard, which would be Bran, Catelyn, or Stannis.
But Tyrion's kind of the voice of reason again here, where Tyrion says that it's got to be Stannis because who else would have benefited from it?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody else would benefit it. So nobody really knows how or why. Nobody, except for Catelyn and Brienne. They're the only ones who really know.
Right.
But nobody really knows how, what happened. They just know that Renly's dead, and it was probably Stannis is doing.
Why didn't they tell anyone? I mean, I guess no one would believe that.
I mean, in the
book,
they did tell somebody. They told one of the guards who was about to fight with Brienne, and Catelyn was like, no, and explained what happened, and then they ran away. But it was because, I mean, who would believe them?
Yeah.
Would you believe them?
No.
Like, oh, no, a shadow just killed Renly.
With its hand.
It wasn't us, the only two Poked people with him. It was a shadow.
I'm going to use that.
That's not very believable.
Time.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Not that somebody dies, but, you know.
Oh, no,
they're like, who ate the chocolate? Oh, it's a shadow. It's crazy.
The shadow's just a chocolate-loving shadow.
Game and ate it. Sorry.
So Tyrion is worried that Stannis and his troops are coming to claim the throne. And he hears from Lancel about this, what is it, the wildfire and all the pots?
Yes, the wildfire. And can I point out his little mini meeting tent he had in this episode?
Did you catch
that was
how small
awesome.
That was?
Yeah, it was pretty funny. I don't think he's ever mentioned anything like that in the books, but it's probably just a funny little thing that...
I want to know who came up with that. I want to know if, you know, the art direction and you know, the set and props were like, hey, I got this idea. And the director was like, that's awesome. Or, I mean, I just really would like to know who came up with that.
I thought it was pretty funny, too.
I love funny visuals.
It also gives him this sense of more power, too, because he's the one who gets to sit upright. And then Lance was, like, hunched over, like, hey, I'm talking to you, all like that, you know, hunched over.
It's funny, the bigger guy is the one that's going to be uncomfortable around
right
him.
So he gets exactly. It kind of gives him more power in a
right,
sense when you think
definitely.
About it. Other than the funny visual of Bronn sitting standing outside of this mini tent.
Poor Lancel. Poor Lancel.
But yeah, so Lancel is, I mean, in the books, wildfire is discovered way beforehand, but we finally get it here, and I'm excited because I was waiting for the wildfire and when it was going to come. So we get to find out about the wildfire. It's been around for a while because we also have the crazy king, Aerys, also was making wildfire, so
the Targaryens used it once the dragons were gone.
Yeah, right, so I found that really interesting. So it was like they were pretending to still have dragons or whatever. Yeah, there's 7,811.
Here's my question. I don't remember in the book Cersei and her son making the wildfire first. I remember Tyrion just starting to do it. But it didn't happen that way.
Yeah, Cersei was making it.
I totally forget.
Yeah, Cersei was making it, and Tyrion was pissed at first. Mm-hmm. And actually, Bronn didn't have any qualms about it. In the show, we see Bronn, the one with qualms, mm-hmm. and Tyrion's like, whatever. In the books, Tyrion was pissed. He's like, wildfire, that is not a good idea. This is not a good thing that Cersei's doing this.
Okay.
And then he goes to try and stop it at first. And then he's like, you know what? Maybe just don't produce as much of it and mm-hmm. produce it for me. So he still sees the use in it. And he actually immediately starts training all the catapults men to learn how to use catapults with jars. And then he starts having them learn how to use catapults and like up and up and up. So they, when it's time to catapult with wildfire, they're not going to accidentally drop it inside of the King's Landing.
Which was Bronn's concern.
But we're getting this all through Bronn now, whereas initially it was like Tyrion's thoughts.
Yeah, I love one of Bronn's lines this evening. He says, win wars, not magic.
I started
liked
that.
Men's wars.
I think there's
I think there's a homily to like every show. Like, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Catholic Church, but there's like a homily. There's like a lesson learned or like one main saying. And I feel like the homily for this episode was men win war, not magic tricks. But it's on the screen that we
except
see.
Except Renly. Exactly. Yeah, Stannis kind of screwed him over with that magic trick.
Yeah, kind of. So, who knows? So maybe,
yeah, we also see more of that with Zorro, too. That exact same thing with him talking about the magic tricks and the warlocks. But let's keep talking about the Lannisters first. With Stannis, we get to see the mob, finally. This is when we finally get a glimpse at how much the mob hates the Lannisters. Mm-hmm. They're not happy with the Lannisters because the Lannisters have not been giving them food. They are trapped inside of a castle. It looks like every other kingdom is probably going to win over the Lannisters. Mm-hmm. They're not too happy over here.
No.
And I'm really hoping we get to see some of the things in the books that would have happened during this point, but maybe they will come where the mob really start getting pissed off internally.
Mm-hmm. It's slowly building. Slowly. So, I hope that payoff happens. I feel like every time we hit a scene, it's either a payoff or a setup.
Yeah.
You know?
That's a good point.
And so, they're building towards it. And so, hopefully, we'll get a glimpse of that.
And they're calling Tyrion the demon monkey.
The Aww. Demon monkey.
But he's so good.
So cute.
It is sad that nobody realizes how much he...
Yeah.
And in the books especially, too, he's really trying... Cersei sucks. Joffrey sucks. Mm-hmm. And Tyrion especially is the one who's trying to, like, make it so Cersei's not preparing so much for war. He's like, we need to feed the people. Right. And he's the one who's really looking out for them, but nobody knows.
Cersei, compared to last season, is really getting out of control. Whereas last season she was a little bit more regal, a little bit more cat and mouse.
Yeah.
And this season she's a little more just constantly angry cat. She's like, of course she's in a different position, but
yeah. Alongside with her being crazy, I know a lot of people like don't like everything that Joffrey's doing, like his progression from beheading Ned Stark to holding the crossbow at his fiance and then abusing the whores. But honestly, like, as crazy as he's becoming, like, I find that one of the most exciting parts of the show.
And it is.
You just like the Mad King Aerys.
Yes, I do.
Reborn.
And whenever they show him, I was really sad we didn't get any of him. I know everyone hates him, but I love to hate him. Because when he's on screen, I just don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be bad.
Yeah.
I just love to hate him. I guess that's the thing.
No,
I love to hate him.
He's so evil, and he's just simply unpredictable and mad, and he never fails to entertain. And I love when he's there, and I was sad that he wasn't. But I think
this episode,
I think Cersei being as crazy as just like
if we had that type of son, we'd all be out of our minds too.
I mean, even Tyrion said
she created the monster.
She did.
Yeah. How do you create that?
Right.
Well, in season one, throughout, you kind of see the way she's parenting him in season one, which is like we destroy everybody's enemies and we destroy all of our enemies. That's like kind of what she preaches to him.
Be careful what you tell your children.
Yes. Yeah. Be very careful.
But even Tyrion says the king's a lost cause at this point. I'm worried about the rest of us.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
He doesn't even care.
So let's move on now to what we were talking about before with Zorro. And Zaro, as we see a lot, we see the warlocks, and we're now with Daenerys and Karth. We get to see the inner city now of what it looks like. Beautiful place, really super wealthy.
Splendidly dressed men, many of them plump. And what is it? Zorazor duck sauce?
Zorazor duck sauce?
I don't know.
That's what
I
they
don't,
called
it's
it.
Like,
is that what they call it?
It's Zorazardini. I don't know. It's a lot. I'm sure
one of our fans will know exactly what it is.
And they're going to hate
Please
us.
Please explain to me the duck sauce part.
The duck sauce
name.
Is not in it.
Yes, it is.
No, it's
I
not.
I swear it is.
It is not in it.
It's like Zara duck sauce.
But it's like Zaro, Zoro. But Zaro is what they're calling it. We'll just go Zaro for now.
I know you don't trust me about this duck sauce, but I would weigh money up here.
It is not duck sauce.
Yes, it is. I swear.
I wish it was duck sauce.
Colin, it's 424-256-1729. Look it up. Prove that
I have
I'm
the
right.
book right there. Let me grab
wrong.
It for you and prove it.
I'm staying out of this. I'm just staying out of it.
But, okay, let's move on.
Okay.
So we get to see...
Danny's training her dragons.
Yes.
And now they can
Dracarys.
Eat by... What?
The Dracarys, the black dragon.
That's how they get it to breathe fire. That's her command word.
Oh. Well, we didn't get to see that yet. She's just
Which
teaching
I
him how to eat.
Really think she should be spending more time with them, honestly.
I know, yes. It's their babies. She
right? They're babies,
their babies,
and she needs to train them. Like, come on, Daenerys. Like, let's get with the program.
No, she has a war to fight. She has armies to get. She needs to talk to the 13. She needs to talk to Zaro.
Men to marry.
I
think she should be focusing on her dragons, personally.
Yeah, I that's totally agree, because that's the focus
She's
of her
mother.
Power.
She's a mother, yeah.
And come on, they are her future.
Absolutely. And that's the whole struggle here, isn't it? I mean... In that lovely riddle from a couple of episodes ago, you know, what is power? And Cersei feels mm-hmm. like money is power, but, you know, fire and dragons can really take away that money power.
Power right. is where people believe it lies. Varys.
Yeah, right.
To quote Varys. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to point out some book differences here, too, which is something that's really big, I feel like. And I guess it's not necessary, but... In the books, everybody knows she has dragons. Mm-hmm. Everybody. And the whole thing is that they're all coming to see her dragons.
Right.
And here, she's still kind of hiding her dragon thing, and nobody really seems
to... Not really. We have that guy from the House of the Undying.
But, I mean, she has, like, every single person that already just comes to visit her and brings her gifts and brings her wealth. And then, also, another thing is...
I think that's coming, though, because that woman was kind of warning Jorah and saying, you have to protect her, because now everyone's going to be coming to see the dragons. So
see,
I think,
like,
that's going to happen.
Maybe. I guess it's just kind of out of order, then. Mm-hmm. And then... Another thing with the whole Zaro thing, the way they did it here, the way they handled it was they have it so Zaro wants to wed her and just so he can become super powerful and also wants to like be ambitious. Whereas in the books, he doesn't care at all about the Seven Kingdoms. And he's kind of like, why do I care about this far distant land? I live in Karth.
Yeah.
Karth is amazing. Mm-hmm. And it's Jorah who has to save the day and be like, listen, girl, the only reason that Zaro wants to marry you is because there's a wedding custom in Karth where if you get married, you request one gift from your fiance, anything, and they have to give it to you no matter what it is.
Mm.
So Zaro's going to ask for your dragon, and the wedding custom is you have to give it to him.
Oh.
And that I thought that was cool. I like that in the book, is that was his schemey reason why it was
what
to steal
would
her
you
dragons.
Ask for?
But you only have one.
You can only ask for one thing. If you're dating any of the characters
your
in
virginity.
This show.
And you can't ask for the tickler.
Your virginity.
But if you're dating... No, but if for you have to be dating one of the characters in the show. Which one?
You just opened up 400 or so characters
I know,
right now.
But you just have to,
so.
Like... I would marry Jon Snow. And I would ask him to release his commitment to the black. That's what I would do. That would be my one thing.
Okay, Kristen, what do I think about it?
I really love Kit. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that I would go over Jon Snow. Probably not.
Yeah, it's Jon Snow's. He's just so sexy.
I'm still waiting for my Raven.
There's really no, like... female characters so far in the
Daenerys.
Book.
Daenerys, she's amazing. You wouldn't want to marry her?
I want Daenerys too.
I don't know. She's kind of like getting sort of bitchy right now. At least in the book at this point.
Not. She has goals. She's a conqueror.
Look, in the book,
you can't handle
in
her.
The books, you can't handle the truth.
You can't handle Dany.
What about Sansa?
Hmm? No, she's whiny. Arya would be the only one, but she's a little girl. Arya's my favorite. She's too young.
She's a wannabe boy.
And, well, she's awesome. She's so cool. But, like, Daenerys, at least at this point in the book, she gets so bitchy. And she's like, I deserve to have the kingdom. She starts becoming kind of like
her brother.
She becomes like her brother, where all she cares about is this stupid kingdom for a place that she's never been in her entire life.
No, you know what? I really like Jorah, and he believes that's her birthright. And she has a gentle heart.
Jorah is in love with her. He's in love with her.
But she does have a gentle heart.
Which, here's another difference.
She is respected and feared, but they would also love her. I definitely want her on the throne.
I want Robb Stark, King of the North. He already is
King of the North.
King of the North!
It's tough.
Look,
man.
I guess Daenerys, I would say.
I want Robb and Daenerys to marry, and that would be the perfect kingdom for me.
I don't want her with Robb. I kind of want her with Jon Snow. He's more badass.
I was going to marry Jon Snow.
See there. That's,
first,
that's...
you have to get apart.
Okay.
It can still happen.
I would say Marjorie is the best looking of the girls right now. So I guess I would.
Really? I do not see that at all.
I love her.
Other girls are attractive right now on the show? Fine. Daenerys is the most attractive.
Okay.
You're right.
Thank you.
Fine, she's who's not wanting throne craziness. I don't know. Actually, she does. She wants to be the queen, so. I don't know. All the good characters are guys.
I really like how Jorah says he's going to find her a ship and a good captain, and he actually advises her not to marry Zarazar Duxos.
It is not duck sauce.
It is duck sauce.
No.
I don't think it is. Okay.
Oh, so here's another quick note, too. Difference from the book for everybody. Daenerys actually knows. She notices that Jorah's in love with her. She notices herself. She doesn't need Zaro to tell her that.
No, yeah.
She just notices herself in the book.
It's pretty clear.
Notices.
That Jorah's in love with her.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah, I mean.
So since you guys are so in love with Jon Snow, let's talk about the Wall.
Oh, my God. Well, they are on the Fist of the First Men, and Sam's totally freaking out because he's a history buff. And
he's also freaking out about Gilly.
I love how much he's in love, and I love how much he reads. It's amazing.
He's
the encyclopedia.
He's so much fun. And as I said before, I feel like it's either the scene is, like, paying off or setting up. And, you know, They're just setting up with that whole horn thing. One horn.
One is for friends.
Yep.
Two is for foes.
And then three is for.
I was letting you say it.
Oh, it's okay.
I was stealing the thunder. Three is for White Walkers.
Yeah. And so we're just, that's just setting. I feel it's setting up for some danger.
Yeah, I really like the three horn concept.
You know, I thought it was cool seeing this visually. The only thing, I guess in my head I imagined it, they talk about in the book is how worried they are about the forestation of the area and how there's all these trees and how the hell are they even supposed to see the enemies coming because of all the trees. That was their big worry in the books.
And there's no trees in the set.
And there's not a single tree, which, I mean, okay, I can't really blame them. How are the hell, I guess they have... They found that location.
Thank you for pointing that out, because when I was watching it, I was like, whoa, I pictured this completely differently. I mean, I was also completely captivated by the beautiful scenery and the Arcticness.
Yes.
That's a word.
The frozen.
The tundra. If I had to be an actor of every single one, this is where I would not want to be. The acting I would not want to do would be the ones on the wall.
They take good care of you. They do. They say cut, and then people are like, here's your coat. Here's a warm drink. Do you want to go to your trailer? And you're like, yeah, I think that's a good idea.
Okay, it'd be worse to be a grip.
Exactly. You don't want to be
the
grip.
Nobody cares, man. What, you frostbite?
Like, you don't want to be an extra, because people are like, oh, you're cold, whatever.
So we found out about Mance Rayder a little bit here.
He wants to be King of the Wildlings.
I cannot wait to see him. I haven't looked up who they cast yet, but I'm very excited for that to happen.
Yes. And they're saying that we need to act like the Wildlings because Mance Rayder knows our tactics, so let's steal their tactics.
So he used to be one of them, and then he decided he wanted to be king, right?
Yes.
That's what they said.
That's what they imply in the show.
Jory. Mormont.
Here's my question, and this is probably a silly question because I've read the books, but like, why is it so important for these men to go after the wildlings right now? Like, what is in jeopardy? Like, what's...
So, I've kind of been wondering this, too, kind of throughout. Okay. But I guess the only thing is, I guess they've always been at war with the wildlings and anything that's been in the north. And I think it's always just been a fear from the White Walkers in general that's kind of led them to fear the north. There's more the White Walkers and the Giants. But, I mean, they're kind of right in this sense where they are going to amass a giant army to come march down south. And what's right there? Winterfell. So
might
as well go take care of them right now.
But, so they're going because they know that they're
but gathering. Yeah, because the wall is everybody's terrain. So I'd have to imagine that it was the things like the White Walkers and things like that and the Giants. And that's why every kingdom must have banded together to create the wall, was for those mystical creatures that used to exist. I think that is, why.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
I don't think it's so much the wildlings. I think,
it just feels as though they're chasing them. And I'm like, why? Stop. There's like mystical crazy creatures out there that eat babies. Stop chasing the wildlings.
Yeah, it just happens to be that the wildlings are the ones that are causing problems at the moment.
I know. So Sam's going to take over Jon Snow's steward duties for Mormont. While John goes and becomes a ranger and kills some more White Walkers.
Yes, he is.
So
let's go on to the Stark / Greyjoys, because they're kind of cool line here. So I guess let's talk about the Starks first, Bran. And Bran is dealing with people's problems. And we kind of get a mish here of Bran almost becomes Jojen from the books, where Jojen is the character from the swamps who has all the green dreams. And instead, Bran has what Jojen's dream would have been. This is just for people who read the books. If not, you can ignore this whole thing about Jojen because it doesn't matter. But Bran has a dream about the water coming over, crashing over the walls of Winterfell and killing lots of people.
Well, they talk about that today in the show.
No, I mean, they talk about it. I'm saying that in the books, it was Jojen who has this green dream and tells Bran about it. Mm. And so they're kind of giving Bran... I think it's so they don't have to have as many characters and to confuse audiences. But they're kind of making it so Bran has become Jojen in a way. Bran is both himself and Jojen, and I think that's what they're doing.
Yeah, and I feel like Osha is Jojen's sister also.
Yeah.
I mean, we know she's not actually her sister, but Jojen's sister, I can't remember her name off the top of my head right now.
Oh, I don't remember either.
But anyway, she's a lovely character, but I feel like they're combining that
into
Osha a little bit.
I agree with you. But yeah.
So Roderick lets... Bran know that Torrhen Square is under siege, and so Roderick is going to gather 200 men and then go defend their banner.
Yeah, so they're going to go defend their banner, which it seems like Roderick's proud of him, Master Luwin's proud of him for, like, great decision. You need to protect your bannermen. Bran says this great thing of, like, well, if we can't protect our bannermen, why should they protect us? Which seems like a good idea right now.
I think that dream's going to be coming true.
Oh, it's so terrible. It just breaks my heart.
The sea is coming to Winterfell.
Right. So he's not using that dream right now.
No. Why isn't he?
Well, you know, if Osha was in on the meetings and not having to be, like, outdoors, like, digging up potatoes, maybe they could have solved this problem. But no.
I mean, because why is Osha, like, so wanting to know about his dreams?
Because there's a mystical side to her.
Well, Bran also explains to Osha the dream that he had about the water crashing over, and she doesn't really get it either.
She's interested in hearing about it.
She's interested in hearing about it, but she kind of puts away, well, the sea's way far away. And that's what she tells him at the moment.
Mm.
I'm just saying that for the sake of if she was on the council, she wouldn't necessarily have known what to do.
Oh, I think she would.
I was just snapping at that.
That's okay.
Snuffing that fire.
So she has mystical powers that we will find out about.
But I mean...
In...
Mystical sense.
I think she just believes and knows it from being from north of the wall.
Yeah, okay. I think she
just knows. She's seen things like the Giants and the White Walkers because she's from there.
Mm-hmm.
So she knows some of this stuff is actually true, whereas nobody in Winterfell believes it's true.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Theon now.
Yeah, so speaking he's getting laughed at. He's trying to board his sea bitch, but he's getting laughed at by his entire crew and his sister. So no one's going to respect him. And as...
I guess when your thing's name is the sea bitch, that's kind of why. Although he did name it after his sister initially. That was where it came from.
That's funny. Dagmere actually says, you know, your crew, they're not going to do what they're told. They do what they like.
Right. And, you know, this scene actually wasn't in the books at all. They completely added this scene. And I guess to get that sense that nobody respects Theon, I think that's why they did it. Whereas in the books, he kind of just like thinks about it and it's like talks about his actions and just acts and tells and explains in thought why he does his actions. But we also have something different with Dagero. Is that his name?
Dagmir.
Dagmir, thank you. My note is
you can't read
written.
Your writing.
No. Dagmir. Where Dagmir is the first mate, and in the books, Greyjoy, Theon has known him for his entire life, and he's this well-renowned soldier. Here, he's just meeting him, and for some reason has decided, because he just met him in the movie, or the show, I mean, that he's going to confide in him his plot, that his grand scheme of not just raiding the villages.
Torn Square.
Not just raiding Torn Square, but he's going to do something else. Smirk.
Well, the Starks are going to send their men to Torn Square, and then
Smirk.
Theon is going to attack the Starks. And how is Rob going to feel about this? Oh, actually, I know, because in the previews, Rob said, I'm going to take his head. So I have a feeling that he was talking about Theon's head that he's going to take. And I can't wait for that battle.
She hasn't read, so do not ruin anything.
Yeah,
okay. This is a valid prediction.
It's so funny.
Usually I just get to speak my mind. But when I've read the books, like, I have to navigate what is occurring. Do you know what I mean? Yeah. I'm like, oh, I can't say anything.
I'm not this far in the second book.
Okay. So,
I just finished
You have a lot to look forward to.
Oh my gosh.
So, anyways, he's basically, kind of obvious. He's implying that he wants to attack Winterfell.
Mm-hmm.
That's what we get from these two scenes meshing together because of his little smirk.
You guys.
Well done. Well done.
I just wanted to do a smirk.
Well played.
Well, why don't we go? Do you guys have anything else before we go to commercial
break?
Yeah,
we do. We have. Oh, I thought we had someone else to talk about.
No,
Arya. We have Arya to talk about.
Okay.
I'm just so over the moon with the set for Harrenhal. Like, I love it. I just love it. I love what they've done with it and how spooky and eerie and scary it is. And this is a scene that really paid off for me tonight because she meets, is it Jacquees? What's his name?
It's Jaqen. Jaqen Hagar.
Jaqen. I thought it was Jaqen Hagar.
I think it's Jaqen.
Jaqen.
I said Jaqen for some reason. You were speaking French and I went with the French thing.
No.
Jaqen Hagar.
Jaqen Hagar, who she actually freed from the fire when the gold coats were coming.
So we also have so he offers to kill three people for her because she saved three people from death.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to have the balance of death.
I don't remember being a red god.
I don't believe it was a red god
it
before.
It was a different god.
Yeah, it wasn't a red god. It was just like the god of death.
It was the faces of something. I don't know. I
think he just said the god of death in the books, but here he referred to it as the red god.
Mm-hmm.
But
maybe they're...
Yeah, so that was different. I don't know why, but they chose a red god this time.
Okay, so that's very interesting. Why would she pick the Tickler as number one? I mean, all the names she was repeating, Cersei, the
Tickler was one of the names.
Yeah, but not till the end. I mean, why not just spit out Joffrey? Come on, let's get it over with.
I think because she's just, maybe because she's a child is the only, my only thought. I felt that way reading
why
when I was
waste
reading.
Waste one of like, them on the Tickler?
Well, you
like,
get,
why
like,
don't you get Tywin?
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you get in the books at this point. She's not even the cupbearer for Tywin. But I think I just want to talk about it before I get on that why they. I think they did that, or maybe you know what, I'll come back to that. I have a good reason for why they did that. When we get to Tywin, tell me, and I want to talk about it. But for her three in the books, it was the first two people are different than this because they're people that in the books you get to know that you haven't met here.
Yeah,
and it's also worthless people. But she kind of realizes that. After that, what am I doing?
Yeah.
She's just acting out of pure hatred and spite at that point of, like, these people are acting cruel to me now. Mm-hmm. And then eventually she kind of realizes, like, I could be having him kill people that will matter for the war.
Mm-hmm.
So she does get that realization, but she gets it
a little too late.
Well, she still has...
She has one.
One by
yeah,
that
well,
point.
We haven't gotten there yet.
We haven't gotten there. So... She
so
does,
I guess she's
she
gonna waste
to that.
Another one.
But she, I think she
what
also.
What are you doing, Ari? You've been repeating the right names for how long now?
I think she
Go
also
back to
just
that
doesn't
Christmas list.
Well, I think she also just doesn't trust that he's going to do it necessarily. It's almost a test of like,
right? That makes sense.
Of like, let me just give him a name and see, like, you know, and then if he does it, like, she just doesn't believe that's actually going to happen, and then it does.
So Jaqen is the new Santa Claus, and she's just getting the list, right?
Yes, and he's checking it twice.
Oh.
Let's keep going with that. Okay, I want to go to Tywin because I do want to talk about... Because last episode, Simone, Kristen, and I were talking about why is Tywin the cupbearer as opposed to who it was in the books, because Tywin was not who Arya is the cupbearer for. And I think the reason they did this is because for a show, it was a good way for them to set up all the exposition that you see throughout all the... Because Arya gets a lot of things, like a lot of information from hearing people whisper and random characters talking that she just overhears. And this is just a way to make it so you're centralized with characters you know and care about, and they can give you all of the exposition without it randomly being found out from characters you don't know about. And that way, we get all that information from characters we know.
We have to remember that the show is going to be a separate piece from the books.
Right.
And as it continues, it's going to get way different, you know? Third season is already supposed to be a big stray from the books. And everyone's going to have to look at it as people who are now killed in the show are not going to be there. So they're going to be standalone pieces at the end of the day.
I'm excited for that. I am, because it just, you know, it's nice to see the stories go another way.
Mm-hmm. Agreed.
I become a book purist, generally.
You get attached to it.
Attached to the book. Yeah. But, I mean, if there's things that, like this scene, for example, I get it. And you know what? I'm not, like, mad. Like, oh, why didn't they have these random murmurs? And that's how she found out. I get why they did it. It makes sense to me. It works for a show. And I get it. So, you know, I think they did a good job with this.
Right. Something that I really liked was when Tywin was asking her about Robb Stark. And he kind of was like, wait a minute, you're not from Maidenpoor, whatever. You're from the north. And then she finally tells him a house that she knows.
Yeah.
The
The sigil. The house sigil. Yeah.
Sigil. And so then he asks her about Robb, and she's like, I heard that he rides in the battle on the back of a wolf.
Right.
And he can turn into a wolf whenever he wants.
Yeah, and this is another...
And he can't be killed.
Yeah, and that's another great thing with what I was talking about, where that's all information in the books that you'd gotten from all these various other characters and rumors from random people that you'd heard.
Mm-hmm.
And instead, we get it all here in the characters we know about. We don't have to have random characters. It works for a show the way they did it.
No, so I like that coming from her.
It was one of my favorite scenes tonight. Because, again, when you know the plot points, you know that they don't really interact that much, Tywin and Arya, at all.
Right.
And so,
it's nice for that little stare she gives him, too.
It was a nice little fantasy that we got to see them really play it out. And it's just another reason to keep watching, because it's full of surprises. Characters that don't get to have dialogue with each other get to confront each other. And you're like, who's going to win this one?
Yeah.
And, you know, with the whole thing, how, Bran was having those dreams about him becoming a direwolf. I really like that she said that about him, because they haven't played up that aspect enough. And I don't know that that's going to happen.
Yeah,
of course, you guys could probably do. But.
Well, that's something, again, with Jojen that they're not including, that you find out a lot about at this point, the dreams that he's been having and how they might come to be. But probably with Osha, eventually we'll get that. So let's go ahead and take a commercial break. But before we do, Kristen will have a special report for us when we come back. See you guys in a bit.
Boom.
After Buzz TV.
Hi. I was once like you, a lazy, angry loner whose only joy was watching TV and surfing the net. And like you, after I'd see one of my favorite TV shows, I'd be so excited and have so many questions that I'd actually have to talk to my douchebag coworkers about it at the water cooler. Then I discovered AfterBuzzTV.com. AfterBuzzTV produces after-show webcasts and podcasts for TV series of all kinds, like post-game wrap-up shows for all your favorite TV shows. AfterBuzzTV hosts are industry insiders who break down episodes of shows, take calls from fans, and interview cast and crew from each series, with over 60 different aftershows, from Boardwalk Empire to American Idol to Vampire Diaries to Real Housewives and more. Now, after a night of TV, I can ignore my stupid coworkers, who I hate, and go straight to my desk and watch or listen to all my favorite AfterBuzz TV aftershows and have all the TV fan interaction I need. Thank you, AfterBuzz TV.
AfterBuzz TV. What do you want to buzz about?
I'll tell you guys right now what I want to buzz about, which is before we get to the special report, I am looking up to find out about the duck sauce thing that is not true. And I just want to point out that with me doing this, that we do all do this show for free, and being such We would love if you could support us in any way possible. One would be going to iTunes or YouTube and commenting on our show. We love reading the comments, and we'll get to them at the end of the show. Another thing that you guys could do that would really help us is if you're buying anything from Amazon, just go to Amazon through our website, AfterBuzzTV.com. There's a link there. Click on it. You don't pay any extra money. You can buy whatever the hell you were going to buy in the first place, and it'll just help support us and bring something our way because we do this completely for free. You can buy a Clash of Kings from Amazon, for example, or you can buy some of our special items from last week, like Globies.
Ooh. Ooh. Or my Daenerys top.
Or the Daenerys top. Ooh. Or my Kingslayer armor. So
which really works, by the way. Yeah. We tried to stab him earlier. It didn't work.
And you saw how good skilled I was with the sword at the beginning of the show.
Awesome. Weaponry skills.
Kristen, why don't you take us off on the special report, and I will look up the Zorro duck sauceness.
Okay. I don't believe that it's going to be in the books, but I definitely heard it a few times, and I even looked on my phone on
I've just got it right here. Zorro Zoan Doxos.
Doxos.
Doxos. D-A-X-O-S. Doxos. Zorro Zoan Doxos. A.K.A. duck sauce. I like duck sauce more, so maybe that's just how we can pronounce it, because people do pronounce things differently.
It's just like the Globie from last week.
The Globies. Maybe we can
Alessandra's
have... Maybe that's what you can buy from.
Ruby.
Yeah.
We call that the Globie, and it's Zarazar duck sauce.
Maybe we can just say that that's another Amazon thing you can get is you can get some official Game of the Thrones duck sauce.
Yes. Amazing.
And they're going to perform Barbara Streisand.
Now I'm hungry.
Special report music, please. Do we have that? Do we have some news?
Let's go with the news music.
Okay.
There he is.
Okay, guys. So my special report this week is on all the religions of the show. So first of all, religion was really extremely important in the Middle Ages. And I like how this one part where in Syria actually tells Arya that he asked her if she believed in religion, and he told her that there is only one God, and his name is Death. Mm-hmm. And I hope that we get to see him again, because it wasn't clear whether he died or not in the show. Okay, so the old gods...
I love Syria.
Before the humans even came to the continent, the magical children of the forest worshipped these gods, and they're tied to the earth. They're the gods of the north who the Stark family worships. There's no names, churches, or priesthood. They're symbolized by the weirwood trees known as the heart trees and the red leaves and the red sap, so that when you cut them, the knife, it would seem like it would bleed the trees because there's red sap.
Oh, I didn't realize that's what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, it's the red sap in the trees.
And they're white, the weirwood trees.
Because they always describe it as bleeding, like their eyes bleeding. I never really got
that
was why.
They're white with red leaves and red sap.
Huh. Cool.
Okay, so the seven is, they have a seven-pointed star. It's the dominant religion in the west of Westeros. And the faith is built around Christianity because you know how there's three gods in one in the Christian faith, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. They have seven, and there's three male figures, and there's three female aspects. And the male are the warrior, the father, and the smith. And the female is the mother, maiden, the crone, and which is wisdom. And the seventh is the stranger.
I like the stranger.
Neither male or female. And it represents death. So they would pray to the mother for like a childbirth, and they would pray to the warrior for strength in battle. Do you guys have something?
No, I love it. I like the Smith.
I don't know why.
I'm going for him.
So there's septons and septas, and the Great Sept of Balor is also called. It actually stood for King Balor Targaryen, who was noted for his religious piety and peaceful making skills. He was a pacifist.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a little knowledge for you, and the Drowned God. Which is of
it's the Greyjoys.
Yes. Yeah. And it's a tough place to live. It's also a tough religion. The seafarers actually believe their god lives under the sea, and they believe that's where their heaven is. So they have no fear
Neptune.
Of dying at sea. They have no fear of drowning. They think that like mermaids will wait on them when they die at the bottom of the sea.
That sounds kind of awesome.
So it's awesome. It's kind of scary because they are not scared at all.
Yeah.
and that's when we saw Theon actually rededicate himself
With the water.
With the salt and everything. Mm-hmm. So, okay, and then the Lord of Light is Melisandre's religion. It's the new religion.
This is me.
It's not known. Yes, it's actually Judaism. Do you want to explain that part, how it's based off of
Judaism? It's based off of one God. I guess that's, that's the only correlation I get there. It's based off of one God. Mm-hmm. And that we have magical dark spells where I could help give birth to a shadow baby.
Melisandre is a priestess. Her powers are granted to her by a divine force based off prophecy and visions received through the communication, through the communion of flames. She believes that Stannis is a savior figure, and all other gods must be destroyed, which is why we saw that sort of fire where he was burning all the other gods.
This seems to be the only religion that is bent on destroying other religions. It seems like everybody else is like, okay, that's who you worship.
Yeah,
I'm cool with it.
That's not really not true about Judaism, though, which is funny, because Judaism is one of the few religions where they don't try to push it to other people. They don't have anything where they go out and like... They don't have missionaries or anything like that. They never push it on other people. So that is different than...
Well, I don't know how you say it, but Rular, I think it is also known as the Red God, actually. So when he mentioned that in the show today, I guess his he is actually believes in the Lord of Light, because the Rular is known as the Red God. And they're kind of using religion as a means to an end to gain the throne, Stannis, clearly. Mm-hmm. I don't think he is really a believer or whatever.
So what religion would you guys take? Or is there more?
Oh, I'm totally... No. I would so be into the trees and the weirwoods.
Yeah.
That would speak to me. How about you?
I would go weirwoods too, and I think it's just because I like the Starks so much. That's honestly why.
And it's the oldest religion as well, although I'm Catholic, and so I should really be going with the seven.
What if we
just took it up, though? Judaism's older than Catholicism and all that, so I'm going to go with werewolves is my Judaism. So there, okay, whatever.
But what if like we were like, so this is what we're going to worship for now.
I mean, take up Game of Thrones religions.
Oh, so I didn't mention the Dothraki, but they the Dothraki religion is the Great Stallion, and they see that children are considered blessings from the Great Stallion.
So and we get that in the map.
And they also, and they forbid using blood magic.
You know what? Can I mention the map real quick at the beginning? In the intro, we get to see Harrenhal.
Yeah, that was cool.
And it's the only time we've ever seen something not get built up or anything like that.
Yeah.
Nothing, it's just there.
Yep.
And I guess it's because it's a ruin and it's kind of old. I just want to point that out.
Okay, well, I guess the report's done, so we'll go ahead and thank our listeners now, before predictions, actually.
No. Yes. Thank you.
So we'll go to YouTube first, and we have Chief Republic, Charvel TRS, I don't know.
Getters. I'll go with Getters. Charvel Getters.
Charvel Getters, okay. Woofin 443, The Andrew Fig, New York City. I think you kind of wanted to say that, didn't
you? New York City.
Small McLittle Tiny. I really love that name. Again, thank you for commenting. All Too Far. I don't know. Zach and the Machines. Unbeheld. Video Guy. ATL. Illuminites. Anax 78. I love saying these. iTunes. Cobra Clutch. Pope Sixtus. New Mass Effect ending.
Apparently, it's the game.
No, it's the game Mass Effect.
Everybody hates the ending in Mass Effect 3, so he's saying there should be a new Mass Effect.
Oh, I thought
ending.
He was coming up with.
No. That's okay. No, he's just talking about a video game.
Great.
Not just he's talking about a good video game.
Mm. Okay, so Andrew Jackson commented about the direwolves, and so they are a mix of real world wolves and CGI effects.
I'm so curious about that. Thank you, Andrew. I was looking at them going, how is that possible?
Yeah, they kind of do both.
It looks great.
Yeah, I think they film sometimes with the wolves, and then they kind of, you know, use the eyes. They go in and CG the eyes, they make them bigger.
The actor who plays Robb Stark was saying they'd have a stand-in thing that they would, like, move around, and then so he could just, like, pet an imaginary thing there, and then they would film footage of a wolf. And then
replace it in.
Yeah.
Okay. I am Iron Man 211. Glad you liked my Sansa shirt. Hopefully you like my Daenerys shirt. And yes, a bloodbath is necessary. Terabyte said that he wanted me to. Terabytra. He wanted me to wear. He liked my purple, but he wants me to wear red. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to go to Amazon and get some red garb. Okay, Wild One Izzy. Not Wild O Nizzy.
Whatever. Okay, you know what?
he pronounced it wrong last time. So, you know, you asked me if I watched the show Supernatural shows. No, I haven't seen that show. But HBO, actually, we found a quote. There is a budget expense. Budget restrictions. So George R. R. Martin said he actually wanted to write Song and Fire, or the first book, because, right, you know, he wanted to write something where there wasn't a budget restriction, but now the irony of it is it's going into a show.
Right, because he'd been a screenwriter for so long.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so HBO spares no expense, mind you. There's great outfit to work for, but basically they don't have Peter Jackson money to make the show. He was talking about there's a lot of great scenes that he wanted to show in the show, but one of the montages where there was like seven different castles, as much as it would cost, is their budget for this season. So, you know, as fantastical as his mind is in the books, you can't put all that into a television show.
That's just
sad.
Oh, and one more.
realistic. You're like sad, terrible.
Roxbox blog. There's ravens and spies everywhere. So we assume they asked about Littlefinger. How did Littlefinger know where Catelyn was?
And we just kind of assume
because he has ravens and spies everywhere. So I think you just have to assume that. Sean Nessel, thanks for recommending this show to your friends. And don't forget, you can call in and chat with us live, 424-256-1729. Swift 99988, thank you so much. I'm not as far in the books as they are, but we agreed it's important to provide both perspectives.
Yes, so we get everybody.
Somebody who has not gotten as far in the books. And Dave, I believe you wanted to thank just a couple of people really
so
quick.
So, Dreadlife, let me just throw something out there. This is natural, son.
Dave, you're so pretty. I saw a comment that they thought you were pretty.
Yeah, I'm so pretty. He thought that this was bleached hair. No, this is all natural.
All natural locks.
It's called sun bleach. The sun bleaches my hair. Mumba Jumba, I want to be on myself too. Wild One Izzy, you know, I'm sorry about the name. I'm sorry, as Kristen said, but you know what? I guess Renly's Crown is pretty cool. I could try it out. Maybe if I win it from that HBO contest, I will get a chance.
I really appreciate that the crown looked a little bit more ridiculous this episode.
Last episode it really fit in, and
you're like, okay, that's not ridiculous. But this episode, because it was compared against his brother, you're like, wow, you look silly now.
Yeah. So, Illuminite, thank you for letting us know that on the breast of Game of Thrones, we are the Globy. I appreciate that.
And what about that other person who had the question about who are the Wildlings
and White Walkers? Yeah, so Sunday 20 asked about the Wildlings. Who are the Wildlings? Who are the White Walkers? So the Wildlings are essentially just the people who live north of the Wall. They're kind of barbarians, but they're people. That's more or less. They're people who live north of the Wall who we don't like because they're savages and barbarians.
Mm-hmm. They're very animalistic.
And that's kind of, we're getting the southern perspective of it, the people who live south of the Wall, really, because that's all we're getting. That's what they think of them. The White Walkers now, they're the mystical, crazy creatures that are white. They have blue eyes. And as Simone pointed out, we hear a crackling noise when we see them in the show.
Right.
So I think that wraps up. Let's get the predictions.
Thank you guys for commenting. Thank you guys for commenting. Continue to ask us questions, please. We love talking to you. Predictions. Okay. News from Winterfell. We can kind of see in the previews that Catelyn and Rob are going to get some bad news from Winterfell.
I don't know. I mean, I feel like it's unfair to do predictions because I've read the book.
Right.
So I kind of just am going to shoot.
We just talk about exactly what they
exactly
said in the predictions.
Exactly what they show.
Exactly what they show. All right.
Just so we don't ruin anything.
Okay. Can I have a fantastical one, though?
Yeah.
I think I've said this before. I really want the Child of the Vale. What's his name?
Robin
and Joffrey, and I've said this before, I want them to duke it out to the death and just be rid of those two characters. That is my prediction.
Make Joffrey fly.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I think
we got Daenerys, a lot of Daenerys coming up.
Right, Daenerys is, it looks like she's stealing ships from Karth, actually.
I mean, the main thing they show is she's going to be talking to the 13. That's a lot of it.
Dothrakis love to steal, though.
And then I think Cersei's daughter is going to be leaving next episode.
Yes, she will. This is going to be a big payoff.
I want some mob action!
The path to riches is not always pure, Zorro says. Zorro duck sauce.
Duck sauce. Zorro duck sauce. That's what we're going to call him. Okay, just Zorro duck sauce.
Zorro
duck sauce.
All right, guys, okay, guys, please comment. Tune in next week. Leave us some good questions.
Yes, and guys, I am Dave Klein. You can find me on Twitter at TheDaveKlein, that's K-L-E-I-N, or www.djk-online.com.
Oh my goodness, I'm Bethany Jaber, and you can check out my other podcast. It's Literary Girls Gone Wild on iTunes.
Ooh.
Or literarygirls.tumblr.com.
I'm going to check that out. That sounds awesome.
Yeah, that's fun.
I'm Kristen Snyder, Kristen Elizabeth Snyder, if you want to find my stuff. Just Google Cinematic Escape or follow me on Cinematic Escape on Twitter.
And from the King of the Booth, Queen of the Booth. Queen of the Booth.
Where can we find you?
I am Marissa Movies. That's M-A-R-I-S-A Movies on Twitter.
Yes.
All right.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you,
see
guys.
You next week.
Next week.
Woo-hoo. They love us when we dance.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.